Mesechtes Chulin, Daf Nun Beis, 10 lines to the bottom of Daf Nun Aleph and Beis, and in our Mishnah, which discussed the treifas by Behemah, Mishnah mentioned Nafla Menagag, and as we already explained, that's Halacha Meshem Sinai, that if an animal fell from a rooftop or from any area that's higher than 10 tefachim, then if you shecht that animal within 24 hours, so the animal would be considered a treifa, as we are concerned for Risuk Evarim, and as Rashi pointed out, that there is no Bedika that would suffice. However, as we saw in our Mishnah, there would be chilukim if this behemah stood up or if the behemah walked. Our Gemara had a shayla as to the definition of standing up and as to the definition of walking, and then the Gemara stated, "V'hilchasa heicha de nafla menagag b'dlo yada v'amda v'lo halcha tzricha b'dika v'ina tzricha me'is l'es v'imhalcha afilu b'dika nami l'tzricha." Although in regard to dinei treifas, the Mishnah will discuss oifas on daftun vavam aleph. However, our Gemara will now discuss various cases where the dinim of the would apply to a knife. As the Mefarshim point out, that birds are weaker than animals, and therefore they would become a treifa quicker than animals. Our Gemara will bring down various cases and various examples as to where an knife would be considered a nefula. Based on the way I would categorize a Gemara, there would be 18 different categories, and we will see that in some cases we would be chayshin, meaning that would be chayshin l'risuk evarim, and therefore within the 24-hour period after this occurrence, the bird would be considered a treifa. The Gemara will also use the term in chayshin, and that means that we're not going to be chayshish mishum risuk evarim. Even if someone would shecht this bird within 24 hours, the bird would not be considered a treifa. Basically, the standard that we should be looking for is two ideas. Number one, if the bird fell onto something which is very hard, then we'd be chayshin l'risuk evarim. However, if the item is soft, so it would cushion its blow, and in chayshin l'risuk evarim. And seven lines from the top of Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, after we discuss all these cases, so Shmuel will bring a klal as klal the milsa called me the mishrik aimed by mishum risik avarim loy mishrik yesh by mishum risik avarim. Any item that when something presses against it, that item will slip and slide. So even if a bird would hit that item, the bird would slip off the item and therefore would soften its blow, and we would not be chayshish l'risik avarim. However, if something would not slip, so the impact on the bird would be that much greater, and we'd be chayshish l'risik avarim. And those would be the basic two klalim that we have to understand for our sugya. We will not continue to define the word chayshin and ein chayshin in our Gemara as we have already defined it. And our Gemara now begins Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and we will start with category number one, that if shenechbet al pnei hamayim kivin shot molik kamasei dayai, and if is thrown against water, and this happened bal kochai, and the if did not fly into the water, so as long as it could swim its entire body length, then we would not consider it a nefula, and it would not be considered a treifa. And for example, if the bird's height is a foot and it would swim 1 foot, then we would not be chayish l'risuk avarim. However, Shmuel now defines this further as v'loya marn el matal maila, that the only time that we stated that by the bird swimming that would be a raya that's healthy is only if it was able to swim upstream and against the current. However, if it's swimming downstream, then even if it swims its entire length, that doesn't prove anything, as it's really the current that's pulling the bird, and it doesn't show that the bird is healthy, and therefore will be chayshin l'risuk avarim. And in addition, zok Shmuel v'mayekayme leslamba, and if the water is stagnant, then once again kivin shishat malaykay masay dayai, we would not be chayish l'risuk avarim. Now in Rashi that explains that kivin shishat malaykay masay havalei kalicha she'in etzich b'dika, and this is similar to a case where an animal fell and then it walked, where we stated that you don't even have to be b'diket. And by a bird swimming, that is similar to halicha by an animal, and therefore there would be no requirement for bdika. And Rashi explains, so less lumba that filum milo shapadami, and even if it's swimming downstream, then that would be fine. And certainly when you have water that's kaimi and that's stagnant, there is no upstream and downstream. However, certainly there is some movement, and Rashi refers to that as upstream. And finally, Shmuel qualifies this halacha that even if the bird is swimming downstream, but we shot it kadme hakadme, that if one would throw a twig or a stick into the water right next to the bird, now both the bird and the twig are floating downstream, and even so, the bird overtakes the twig, then we see that the bird is using its own koyach, and therefore, once again, the halacha would be that in chayshin. And before we continue, let us point out that certainly if a bird is flying and it flies into the water, then certainly that would not be considered nefula. However, Ayin Demiri, who points out, when Shmuel states, it is actually dafka, and the only way that would be considered a fool nefula is only if it's drawn bal kochoi, but if it fell, then that would not be considered nefula. However, Rashi is mashma that was nefo bal kochoi, and even if it wasn't thrown, but it fell into the water, that would also be considered nefula. And also, I need Rishonim who point out that it's only regard to an oif that falls into water that would be a cheshash of risa kevarim. However, behemoth that falls into water, there would not be a cheshash of it being a nefula, as water is softer than ground, and therefore would not apply to a behemoth which is stronger than an oif. And the Gemara now continues with the second category, gleaming masia chayshinon, that if there's a sheet that's spread out on posts, the sheet is spread very strongly, and therefore is taut. So if a bird would fly onto that canopy, so since it would be a hard fall, so it would be chayshin l'risik ayvarim, as Rashi states, chayshin l'risik u'bayushihia, the kiman matiach shaper kashu. However, d'loy masiach l'chayshinon, if the canopy is not pulled strongly and is not very tight, then it would soften and blow, and therefore it would not be chayish l'risik ayvarim. And the third subcategory is ufu mu'ufuf l'chayshinon, if when making this canopy, it wasn't made by having one layer of a sheet, and instead they folded over a sheet, and the canopy now was a double layer. In that case, it's impossible to pull it so tightly that it'll be so hard. Certainly, it would be softer, and it would cushion the impact on the bird. Therefore, we would not be chayish l'risik ayvarim, as Rashi states, the inim teches yafa. Shmuel continues with the third category, and this category has to do with a net, and if there's a net that's spread out, and as we know, there are holes in a net, to form the spaces of a net, it would make knots around those open areas. So Shmuel will teach us that if those knots are close together, then certainly when the bird hit the net, it probably hit the knot, which is very hard, and therefore chayshinon. However, if the knots were spread apart, then there's a likely possibility that the bird did not hit the knots themselves, and therefore loy chayshinon. And as the Gemara states, islo mekarvi kitri chayshinon. However, loy mekarvi kitri loy chayshinon. If a bird flew into a net and the knots were very close, then it would be chayshin l'risik avarim. However, if the knots were further apart, then we would not be chayshin l'risik avarim. And as Rashi states, islo oif shenafel bereshes sapruso ba'avir im mekarvi kitri kishri achutin shabem smuchin zel zeh tamid. So chayshinon shema k'sharim riskuhu. And Shmuel continues with the fourth category, kisna da'avir betuni chayshinon, the haigis or the haigis le chayshinon. If a bird fell onto flax that was made into bundles, since the bundles are very hard, so therefore it would be chayshin l'risik avarim. However, if the bird did not make a direct impact and hit the side of the bundle, then it would slip and slide off of the bundle, and it would not be such a hard impact, and therefore le chayshinon. And as Rashi states, duchimati olayim mishtarik mishtamid v'le malkile. And the Gemara continues, the fifth category is isuraisa chayshinon, that if it fell on a bundle of reeds, which is hard, then it would be chayshin l'risik avarim. And number six, kisna daik v'nafetz le chayshinon, daik v'le nafetz chayshinon, if the bird fell onto flax that was not in bundles and it was on the floor and it was already beaten and coned, so the flax is already softer and therefore would not chayish l'risik avarim. However, if it was only pounded but was not yet combed, then we're still concerned l'risik avarim. As Rashi explains, that even though it was already broken, however, the pieces of the flax are still in the pile, and shivri ha'gevoylim malkin ha'sa'if. And the Gemara tells us, the avi bizri kivin de'ikar be'kitri chayshinon, if the flax, which was already beaten and combed, was then made into bundles, but since there are still knots in the flax, so therefore we are chayshinon, and l'chayrit is adding on to the previous din that we already learned, of kistin the avi betuni chayshinon, as one may have thought that the only time we're chayshinon is only where there are bundles of unprocessed flax. Once they are beaten and they're combed, then possibly we loy chayshinon, and therefore kamash blon, that as long as they're going to be bundles and the bird makes a direct impact onto the bundles, so we're still concerned mishum risik avarim. However, ayin demiri that seems to want to make a chilut between our case that's talking about smaller bundles that will process differently than larger bundles, ayin sham. Shmuel now continues to discuss a case where a bird falls on other parts of flax, and as he continues, daksa chayshinon, daksa loy chayshinon, if the bird fell onto the parts of the flax that is pulled out of the flax when they break it and then they comb it, those items are hard, and therefore we'd be chayshin l'risik avarim. However, if it fell on a different part of the flax, which is also a waste product, since this part is much softer, so loy chayshin l'risik avarim. And Rashi explains, daksa irish shivri gebaylin had a norim in a pishtin kishin manapsin aysai chayshin l'mnafel ifalein. However, dakta dakum min a daka v'gam hina irish loy chayshinon, and im yesh b'men a kri al gabi kaka v'nafel ifalein loy chayshinon l'fishi raka. Shmuel continues with the sixth category, story, and Rashi states that the word Navar refers to Siva Gadol Sava Kolim, and this refers to the inner bark of a palm tree, and Shmuel teaches us Navar Chayshinon, Timchas Le Chayshinon, if the bird falls directly on this palm bast, then Chayshinon. However, once someone already started pressing Navra, and they pulled it into smaller strands, then certainly it's softer, and therefore Le Chayshinon, and Rashi explains Navra, the Miyavshin Isav Nechlek Ritzua Isav Mafshilu Men Chavalim, and they would make rope out of palm bast, the Chol Man Shalim Nasir Ritzua Isu Kasha, but Timchasa, La Achashel Chakul Ritzua Isu Lahai Navra, Kamosha Isil Klippas Eitz Akar Til, and at that point it's softer, and therefore Le Chayshinon Le Risek Avarim, and the seventh category is Kitma Neil Le Chayshinon Le Neil Le Chayshinon, that if a bird fell onto ashes that were already sifted, it was already a harder pile, and with Chayshinon Le Risek Avarim, however, if it was not sifted, then it's still softer, and therefore Le Chayshinon Le Risek Avarim, as Rashi states, Kimta Neila Muruk Bin Napa Nechbash Bin Nasa Kasha Le Neila In Nechbash Bichol Shah Hay Rafa Fe'ina Kasha. We continue with the eighth category on Daf Nun Bezum and Aleph, Chol Hadak Le Chayshinon Chol Hagas Chayshinon. If the bird fell onto fine sand, then we would not be Chayshinon Le Risek Avarim, as Rashi explains that the sand particles do not clump together, and they always slip away from each other, and therefore it's softer, and that's why Le Chayshinon Le Risek Avarim. However, Chol Hagas Chayshinon, that if the sand would be coarse, then we would be Chayshinon, as Rashi points out, Avonim Gedele Shabayim Raskin Ha'ev Kishinoy Faraleim, that the mice has larger pebbles and stones in the sand, and therefore Chayshinon Le Risek Avarim. Within this category, Shmuel teaches us Avak Drachim Chayshinon, that if the bird would fall onto a pile of dust that's on a road, then we would be Chayshinon, as the dust of the road does clump together, it becomes compacted and hard, and therefore we have to be Chayshinon Le Risek Avarim. And the ninth category is Tivna Va'ovid Bazgal Chayshinon, Loy Ovid Bazgal Loy Chayshinon, that if the bird fell onto straw that comes from wheat and barley, the straw was made into a bale of hay, and Chayshinon Le Risek Avarim. However, if it was just a pile of straw, which is much softer, and it was not made into a bale of hay, then Loy Chayshinon. And the tenth category is Chiti V'chol Deminayu Chayshinon, Sa'iri V'chol Deminayu Loy Chayshinon. If a bird fell onto a pile of wheat, or anything that is in its category, meaning anything which a pile of that item would be hard, and Rashi gives an example of rye, then we would be Chayshinon. However, if the bird fell onto a pile of barley, or anything similar to barley, those items are harder, and therefore would be Chayshinon Risek Avarim. And the 11th category is Kol Mitni Kitnias Ein Bah Mishum Risek Avarim Lebam Min Rubya. Since beans and legumes are rounded, and therefore when they go next to each other, they slip off each other, so when a bird will hit them, it will not be such a hard impact. Therefore, in Chayshinon Risek Avarim. However, fenugreek would be an exception to this klal, and if a bird would fall onto a pile of fenugreek, then we would be Chayshinon Le Risek Avarim. And continuing in this category, Chimtzi Ein Bay Mishum Risek Avarim, V'Chefzi Yesh Bay Mishum Risek Avarim, that since peas are perfectly round and are also very slippery, so therefore we would not be Chayshish Mishum Risek Avarim. However, since chickpeas are not perfectly round, so we would be Chayshinon Le Risek Avarim. As we mentioned in the Akdama, that Shmuel brings a klal, that klal the Milsa, that Kol Midi the Mishrik Ein Bay Mishum Risek Avarim, and Loy Mishrik Yesh Bay Mishum Risek Avarim. Ayin Rashi called the Mishtarek Machlik Zemizeb Ein Nechbashim Yachad. When these items pile up and they're together, they slip away from each other and they don't become a clump, and therefore they are not as hard. And if something falls on them, Nishbat Bahilich Ve'in Kan Chabot. Ayin Tesis points out that Agamur brought down various cases that are relevant to beans and relevant to kidneys. And Tesis states Isvarim Degasi Basach Chimsi Ein Ba Mishum Risek Avarim and Chefsi Yesh Ba Mishum Risek Avarim. And as we explained our Gemara, and mashmad le'av b'chal kitnias, it's mashmad that peas and arbis are not considered kitnias. However, zoktesis v'yishleimad the kitnias mayer b'dvarim dakim k'moy adoshim v'oyuz v'deichin ayin sham. The Gemara continues to discuss the din of nefula by an oiv, and the Gemara will now bring a machlekes and dibuk of Ashi Shari amei ma'asa, that if there would be a glue trap where someone takes a board and they would put glue on top of it, and this way when an oiv would land on it, the oiv would get stuck to it and become trapped. And as Rashi explains, Dibuk glue de blaz the tachan isay bedaf cotton va'if sheichin lav u'medavik boy who perech imedaf v'neifel aretz, and even if it attempts to fly away, it will still fall down to the ground as the wings of the bird are stuck to the board, and therefore it can't fly so well. In this case, this machlekes between Rav Ashi and Amema, and Rav Ashi holds that the bird would not be considered Yitzir Nefula and Lei Chashinan, whereas a Mema hold that we would be Chashinan and the bird would be considered Nefula, and at least during the first 24 hours, it would be Asa to Shech that bird and eat that bird. And the Gemara now brings two versions as to where the Machlekes between of Ashi and Amema is relevant, as number one, Bechad Gapa the Kuli Amalei Pligi the Shari, and the Gemara explains that if only one of the wings of the bird would be attached to the glue board, then certainly all agree that would be Mutter, as since it still has use of the other wing, so even though the board may weigh it down and bring it down to the ground, but it won't make such a strong impact onto the ground, as its other wing will help it soften its floor and soften the blow. However, Ki Pligi betray Gapi, and the Machlek is between Rav Ashi and Amemar, is where both of its wings were attached to the glue board, and even though its feathers were attached to the glue board, however, the joint of its wing was still not attached to the glue board. Manda Asa Amalacha Hechinekam, the Lemaisa Amemar hold that it can't fly, and therefore certainly it was impacted, and it is in a Fula. Manda Shari Amalacha Efshinekam Ikvi de Gapi, and Rav Ashi holds that it can soften its blow by using the root of its wings and by using the joint of its wings, and therefore we would not consider it a Fula, and Lei Chashin L'Risa Kaivarim, and Ayin Rashi Hechinekam B'maya Heyachal Hakim V'Lises Atzmai Hilka Kshinefel Nechba B'Nefila Greda B'Nefila Gemura, and I Ikve Denapa B'Mixas Hu Noisias Atzmai B'Ikve Agafayim Hu Roish HaKonof Mokum Shechotchon HaKonof Min HaAvoyz, and this refers to its joint. However, the Gemara will now bring a second version as to the Machlek is between of Ashi and Amemar, and this version will be more Machmin than the first version, as the Ikid Ami betray Garfi Kuli Amalei Pligid Asar, that certainly even Rav Ashi agrees that both of the wings of the bird are stuck to the glue board, then certainly it would not be able to fly at all, and it would not be able to cushion its blow, and therefore would be considered a Fula. And Ki Pligi B'Chagapa, and the Machlekes between Rav Ashi and Amemar, is where one wing is attached to the glue board, and Mandi Shari Amlecha Efshid Aparach B'Chagapa, and Rav Ashi holds that since it's able to fly and soften its blow by using its one free wing, then it would be kosher, and it would not be a trefa, and Lei Chashin L'Risik Avarim. However, Manda Asa Kivne B'Hai Lei Matzi Parach, B'Hai Nami Lei Matzi Parach, and Mema holds that since it doesn't have use of one of its wings, or even its free wing, would not be able to help it, and will not soften its blow, and therefore would be considered a Fula, and would be Chashin L'Risik Avarim. And the Gemara Paskin B'Hilchasa B'Trei Gapi Asa B'Chad Gapa Shari, and according to the first Lashon, the Gemara is Paskin like Amemar, and according to the second Lashon, the Gemara is Paskin like Rav Ashi. And keep in mind, as Rashi points out, that in all of these cases, the only time it would be Chashinan is only if the bird doesn't continue walking. However, certainly if it continues walking, and just like we find by Behema, that would be like Chashinan, so the same would apply by an Oif. And as Rashi states, betray Gapi Asar, Elam Kain Amad Vahalach, and Rashi then continues with an important aside, and he brings a Machlekes that Kasab Alachas Gedeleis, that Kalachicha the Bayer Bedika Kagain Nefulu Shvur Drusa, the Miskashra Bedika, that any time that we stated that by inspecting an animal will be kosher, Hanamila Bederis Kamoi, that would be Kila Mivdak, that only pertains to Deris Kamoi, where they knew exactly how to be Baidik an animal, but we don't know how to be Baidik an animal properly, and therefore Bedika would not help. However, Rashi is Makel and is Chelik on the Alachas Gedeleis, and he states, Vali Nira, the Ain Lilidayan El Mal Shain of Reis, or Mut Lisbech Lav Dechsiv, and as the Pasuk and Shaftim teach us, Vela Shaft Mashiya Bayam Haim, Aval Hu Yizar Yaf of Havil Fun of Kalata Bach of Kalabaki Medover, Hekad Dinunte Shiva Mikshura, in order to take off a splinter from the beam, and as the Gemara uses this term in Mesech the Sanhedrin, that Rav should not necessarily be Saimich on his own das, and instead he should bring together the professionals, and he should make sure he understands the Metzias before passing the Shaila. And the Gemara continues to quote the 17th of the Trefis listed on Mishnah Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph of the Shtabu Rav Salaseh, that most of its ribs are broken, and Rashi and the Mishnah explain, B'loi Shem Nefilah, that's still a Trefa of a Gemara Mefarish, my Rav. And before we begin this Gemara, let us start with Akdama, and let us explain the Metzias of the ribs of an animal. And as Rashi brings down, on each side of the animal, there are 13 ribs, and that forms the core of the body of the animal. Therefore, there are really 26 ribs. However, as we will see in our Gemara, only 11 ribs on each side are considered the major ribs, since there's significant marrow in those ribs, while there are two ribs on each side of the animal that does not have a significant amount of marrow, therefore are not considered part of the major ribs of the animal. Some explain that these two refer to the first and the 13th of the ribs of the animal, and some explain it refers to the first two ribs that are closest to the head of the animal. But in any case, there are 11 major ribs on each side of the animal, animal for a total of 22 ribs. And at the top of the animal, the bone of the rib actually comes and forms into a ball. And that ball fits into a socket and is on the vertebrae or the spine of the animal. This allows the animal to have flexibility. The Gemara will describe this ball and socket to be similar to the pestle and mortar that is used when crushing up salmonim and used by pharmacists. And it's also important to note that even though we mentioned there are 13 ribs, which really form the skeleton of the animal, however, the spine and the spinal cord continue all the way to the back of the animal. And even though the ribs do not continue all the way to the back of the animal, however, there are chulyos and there are vertebrae that continue all the way to the back of the animal. And the 13 ribs fit into 13 vertebrae, and then there are additional 10 vertebrae that continue till the tail of the animal. None of the ribs get attached to those vertebrae. And keep in mind that since the two ribs that are in each side of the animal and correspond to each other are both attached to the same point of the spine and vertebrae, so if one of the vertebrae of an animal would break off of the animal, then number one, the animal would not have one of its vertebrae, and number two, two of its alois or two of its ribs would also be broken and would not be supporting the animal's frame. Our Gemara will now explain that when our Mishnah stated in the Shtabu Reitzel Lasel, so it means that most of the major ribs of the animal, which of course would be the total of 12 ribs, that would be broken. And the Gemara will explain that when we discuss a break in the ribs, it's not referring to a break on the bottom parts of the ribs. That is not as integral to the chiyus of the animal. We are specifically discussing a breakage of the ribs towards the top of the animal, on the top half of the rib. And Ayin Rashi, Chof Beis Talois, G'daylim, Sheyesh Ben Moich, Yesh Lalo Behema, Yud Alf Mikan, V'Yud Alf Mikan. And as we explained, V'Rev Shulhan, Havi Yud Beis, as long as there would be a total of 12 ribs that were broken, so it wouldn't make a difference if 6 would be on side A and 6 would be broken on side B, or if all 11 ribs of side A were broken and only one of the ribs of side B would be broken, then in all cases the animal would be considered a trefa. And our Gemara now begins, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Elu Hein Rav Tzalois, Sheish Mikan, V'Sheish Mikan, Ayachas Esri Mikan, V'Achas Mikan, as we just explained. Now Maziri, and Ziri explains that the only time that would be considered a trefa is only if the break is Mechetzim Klapi Shedra, from halfway point and towards the Shedra, meaning that the break happened closer to the spine and closer to the vertebrae and not towards the bottom of the animal. And finally, as we explained, Amrav B'chana Amrav Echron, Uvet Saleis G'dayl L'Shiyesh Ben Moich, and we're only referring to the Saleis G'dayl that have Moich, and we're referring to those 11 Saleis on each side of the animal. And since our Mishnah was only discussing ribs that were broken, so our Gemara continues and we'll discuss what the halacha would be if the rib would actually be dislocated or uprooted or dislodged from the Shedra or from the vertebrae. And the Gemara brings a machlekes as Amar Ula ben Zakkai Oimer Nekru B'Rev Tzad Echad Nishtabu B'Rev Shnei Tzadin, that ben Zakkai holds that if the rib would actually be uprooted or dislodged from the Shedra, then as long as it would be Rev of one side, as long as 6 of the ribs were dislodged, then the animal would be considered trefa. And the only reason why we mention Rev of all the Talais and we require 12 Talais to be broken was only in the case where it was Nishtabru. And as Ben Zayma continued, that by the case where it was Nishtabru, which is the case of our Mishnah, so that's why we needed Rev Shnei Tzadin. However, Rabbi Yechonon Amar, Bein Nekru, Bein Nishtabru, Rev Shnei Tzadin, when the Mishnah stated Nishtabru Rev Tzalaisel, so it's Lav Dafka Nishtabru, and even in the case of Nekru, there's still a requirement that Rev Shnei Tzadin had to be Nekru, and otherwise it would not be a Trefa. And Ayin Rashi, Diba Maschel Bar Zakkai, and Rashi says, Lo Yadana Manu, I don't know who this refers to. And Rashi explains, Nekru B'Rev Tzad Echad, Kima Shenekru Sheish Mehen Dain Rev Tzad Echad Trefa. And it's Mashmah from Rashi, that even if all 6 were not Nekru from one side, and there's a total of 6 that were Nekru from the Behemah, and even if it's 3 on one side and 3 on the other, or 5 on one side and 1 on the other, then the animal would still be considered a Trefa, Ayin Shum. And the Gemara will now continue and bring down a member of Rav, and it would seem that Rav Kanan of Asi actually heard that member of Rav, and then based on this member of Rav, so they asked Rav a question. However, as we will see at the end of the Gemara, that really Rav Kahana and Rav Asi never heard this member of Rav, and this Shaila was an independent Shaila and wasn't in response to the member of Rav. And also keep in mind that the Gemara will go through an entire Shakla V'Taya in order to understand the actual words of Rav and to understand the actual words of Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. And before we continue, let us point out that in the Mishnah and Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah stated Nishba Shidra V'Nifsek HaChut Shelah, that one of the trefas are where the shed was broken and the chut ha-shedra Sanhedrin was broken. And it's important to remember that when we learned our Mishnah, we explained that it doesn't mean that the Nishba Shedra, the animal is a trefa, but it's just telling us practically that the way that Chuta Shedra would be broken is only if it's Nishba Shedra. However, if the Shedra alone is broken, and the spinal cord is completely intact, then certainly the animal would not be considered a trefa. Therefore, when our Gemara will be discussing cases where the vertebrae of the animal or the Shedra of the animal breaks, so that itself does not make the animal into a trefa. And our Gemara now continues, Amrav Nekrit Selo V'chuyo Ima Trefa, that if one of the ribs of the animal, as well as the vertebrae, gets dislocated and dislodged from the animal, then the animal will be a trefa. And Amalei Rav Kana Rav Asi L'Rav, and right now the Gemara feels the Rav Kana Rav Asi were responding directly to this member of Rav, and they asked Rav that Nekrit Selo Mikan V'Selo Mikan V'chuyo Kayemes Ma'u, that what would be the halacha if two ribs that correspond to each other break and the chuliyah itself doesn't break. For example, if rib number 5 on side A and rib number 5 on side B both break, and what would be the halacha? Would the animal be considered trefa even though Rav of the Tzalois did not break? Gemara tells us Amalhu that Rav responded to Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, Gistukar Misu, are you asking me about an animal that's considered cut in half? And since the two corresponding ribs were broken, so it's as if the animal is completely cut in half, and this would even be a greater problem than an animal being a trefa, even though this animal is alive, we would consider the animal to be an avela. And of course, an avela is more chomer than a trefa, as an avela is metame, and a trefa is not metame. And we already discussed the concept of a gistra on that chafal from an aleph. And the Gemara now continues and is bothered that how could Rav have stated to Rav Kahana Rav Asri that this is a case of an avela, but Rav Nami gistra ka'amar, that Rav himself spoke about a case where one of the ribs, as well as the chulia, were broken, and since the chulia is already removed, then certainly the other rib is already dislocated. In this case should also be considered gistra, and the animal should be in a vela. And as Rashi states on the first of the wide lines, Rav Nami gistra kama, the kimin the neket selo v'chulia ima, harit selo shechinegda nishmetes, and it should be considered in a vela, the kari la Rav trefa, and why Rav considers this a trefa and not in a vela. However, the Gemara explains, ki kam Rav selo b'le chulia, that Rav's case is actually talking about a scenario where one of the ribs were broken, but the tzela was not removed and was not dislocated. Therefore, it would only be a trefa, not an avela. However, the Gemara is, v'tzela v'chulia kama, Rav specifically said that he's talking about a case where one of the tzloim, as well as the chulia, were dislocated, and how could you explain that this is what Rav meant? And the Gemara explains, tzela v'chetzi chulia, and Rav was not discussing a case where the chulia was completely broken and the corresponding rib on the other side was not dislocated, as it was still lodged into the shedra and lodged into the chulia on the other side, and only part of the chulia was broken, and only one rib, as well as the chulia that was right next to that rib, was broken. However, the other side of the chulia was not broken, was still completely intact. Rav taught us that in that case, the animal would be a trefa, and certainly it would not be considered a gistra. However, the Gemara continues and is bothered, Mechlal Rav Kahana Rav Asi, Tzela B'lei Chulia Amri, if you will explain that Rav was discussing a scenario where only one tzela and part of the chulia were dislodged. So when Rav Kahana Rav Asi asked a shayla that was relevant to this question, and they asked this question to Rav, so they must have been bothered that since Rav just taught us that if one rib and part of the chulia was dislodged, then the animal would be a trefa, so they now had a shayla that what would be the din if the vertebrae was intact and two of the ribs were dislodged. And Rav responded to them that this animal would be considered an avela, but certainly how could that be? And as we will see, that the Gemara will ask a question both from the Shita of Ben Zakkai as well as the Shita of Rabbi Yechon that we previously saw. And as the Gemara continues, Va'amu Ula, that Ben Zakkai Oymen, Nekru Brave Tzad Echad, Nishtar Brave Shnei Tzadin, even according to Ben Zakkai, that was more Machmer, and he held that in the case where the ribs were Nekru, that would be easier for the animal to become a Trefa, but certainly we still have to have most of the Tzalois of one side that would be Nekru. If there are only two of the ribs that were Nekru, then certainly it would not be a Trefa, and certainly would not be an Avela. However, the Gemara responds, Amalacha, Hasam Zesh Lekin Zegazer, Hacha Zekin Egazer. The Gemara explains that although Ben Zakkai stated that in the case where the ribs were Nekru, then the animal would only be considered Trefa if it was Nekru Brev Tzad Echad, that is specifically in a scenario where none of the ribs that were broken were opposite another rib that was broken. However, the Shaila of Kahana of Asi was specifically in a case where two ribs that corresponded to each other were broken. And as we gave an example, that the fifth rib on the right side of the animal, and a fifth rib on the left side of the animal were both broken, the shaila was that possibly in that case, the structural integrity of the animal's frame is now impaired, and maybe the animal will already be considered a treifa. However, the Gemara continues and explains that certainly that can't be the shaila of Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, as Va'om Rav Yechon Brev Shnei Tzadin, as Rav Yechon held that even in a case where the ribs were nekru, the only way that the animal becomes a treifa is if roiv of the ribs are nekru, and certainly if roiv of the ribs are nekru, at least two of the ribs that were broken had to be zek keneged zeh, and had to be corresponding ribs. And as we explained, that there are 11 ribs on each side of the animal, and roiv of the tzalois would be 12 ribs, and even if 11 ribs would be nekru on side A, and then one rib would be nekru on side B, certainly that one rib would correspond to one of the ribs on the other side, even in a case where six of the ribs were nekru on side A and six on side B. But it has to be two ribs that would correspond to each other, one from side A and one from side B. And how could it be that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi would have a shayla that if only two ribs were nekru, that the animal would be a treifa, as certainly the animal would not be a treifa until roiv of the ribs were broken. And according to Ben Zakkai, where at least six ribs were nekru, and as the Gemara states, Rav Shnei Tzadin, the Efshtalei Kai Mechad Minayu Zeh Keneged Zeh, and as we explained, the Gemara continues and wants to be mechalik between the question of Kahana and Rav Asi and the scenario of Rav Yechon, and as the Gemara continues, Hasam Buchna Blei Asisa, Hacha Buchna Vasisa, that Rav Yechon was talking about a case where the ball of the rib was dislocated from the vertebrae, which the Gemara refers to the pestle being uprooted from the mortar. In that case, the only way that the animal would be a treifa is if roiv of the ribs would be dislocated from the vertebrae. However, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were talking about a case where it actually was more damaged. Not only did the bone get dislocated, but also at least part of the vertebrae also broke off. Therefore, they had a shayla that potentially in this case, even if only two of the ribs and the vertebrae break off the animal, and the animal would be a treifa. As in regard to this question, that Rav responded that in this case, the animal would be gistra, and it's considered like the animal is cut in half, and therefore the animal will be an avela. And Ayin Rashi and Daf Chafal from Aleph, gistra, kol dova cholk lishnayim, kari gistra. However, the Gemara now continues and is bothered, ihochi hayin v'rav, that if you're going to explain that this was the shayla of Kahana and Rav Asi, and this is similar to the shayla of Rav, and based on Rav's sack, they would already know what the halacha would be, and they wouldn't have to ask the shayla to Rav, since Rav already taught us that if one of the ribs and some of the vertebrae were dislocated from the animal, that the animal is considered a treifa, and certainly in a case where two of the ribs as well as the vertebrae were broken off of the animal, then certainly it would be considered a treifa. And as Taisus points out, Ihochi Hainu Durav, Lav Durav Mamish, Dahi Durav Lav Gistrahu, Vididhu, Hav Gistrav and Avela, and Lakleima Midurav, Hav Lumifshat, Dahadifa Midurav, as we just explained. And keep in mind that Rashi points out that the Shaila of Kahana of Asi were by Ksasa Vichulya, possibly from Taisus' Mashma, that Rav Kahana of Asi were discussing a case where the entire Chulya was Nekru, Ayin Shom. And before we continue, let us read Rashi in Diba Maskel Rabbi Yechon. And Rashi states, Rabbi Yechon da Oma Af Nekru, Loi Mitra Fa'adeka Rav Shnei Tzadin, V'chumi Akru Sheish Mimin, V'sheish Mismol, V'afilu Ilu Tzad Tzavar, V'ilu Tzad Alya, Yevshad Le'av Emtsoy, Zek Negedzeh, and at least the two center ribs would be corresponding to each other. And as we explain, V'afilu Hachi, Boi Rubu Le Mitra Fa, V'kolshkin, V'chod Le Mikru Nevela. And Rashi continues, the Bishlei Meikara, V'salkadaitu, the Rav Tzel, V'kulu Chul Yukama, V'inu Bo Menei, and Rav Kahana Rav Asi, Yes Rav, in a case with Tzelo Tzas Chul Yukan, V'chei Mikan, V'em Tziyosu Shal Chul Yukayemes, Avahashtu Ukmiz, the Rav Tzel, V'chetzi Chul Yukama, V'inu Akochach Tzel, B'lei Chul Yukavale, V'kamalu Hala, Gistra Kamiso, therefore, Kashlon, Hod Rav Yechon, based on the question of Gemara. So our Gemara now continues and explains that Ina Chinami, when our Gemara initially stated that Omri Le Rav Kahana Rav Asi L'Rav, that Rav Kahana Rav Asi were not actually responding to this member of Rav, and this happened at a different time, and they never heard this member of Rav. And as the Gemara states, L'Shmilu de Rav, that Rav Kahana Rav Asi never heard this member of Rav, and therefore they were asking a brand new Shaila. In the Chinami, if they would have heard the Psak of Rav, then they wouldn't have asked the Shaila, as they would have known that the halacha is that this animal is at least a treifa. However, the Gemara continues and is bothered that if you're telling me they never heard the Shaila of Rav, so they should have asked a shayla from Rav in the exact scenario that Rav spoke about, in a case where only one of the ribs was broken and part of the chulia was also broken. Rav would have responded that even in a case where only one of the ribs were broken, that it would still be considered of the trefa, then they would know that if two of the ribs would be broken, then certainly it would be a trefa. The Gemara explains, based on his side, that the Rambam mentions in Hilchos Deis and Ayin and Sukkah Daf Chav Ches that Rav didn't speak a lot and Leisach Sich Betela, and therefore they didn't want to ask Rav many shaylos. Savri, and they thought to themselves, Liboy Minei Chada de Parish Lantati, that let us ask one question, and from his response, we'll know the answer to both of his questions. The Ibeinim Minei Chada, if we would ask Rav what the halacha would be, one of the ribs and part of the chuliyah were broken, we wouldn't necessarily get an answer to our question, as Hanichi Amalon Trefa, that Kolshkin Tati, as certainly if Rav would respond that the animal would be considered a trefa, then certainly if two of the bones and part of the chuliyah or all of the chuliyah are broken, then certainly we would have an answer, as certainly Rav would also hold that it would be a trefa. However, Amalon Shira, Akati Tati, Kami Boilon, but if we would ask him a question regarding one rib, and he would tell us that in that case the animal is not a trefa, so then we would have to ask him another question, that what would halacha be if two of the ribs and the chuliyah would be broken, and would the animal be a trefa? That's why they specifically asked him a question regarding to two ribs. However, the Gemara continues and is bothered, and now that they asked him about two ribs, he would still not necessarily have response, as Hanichi Amaluk Shira Koshkin Chada, as certainly if Rav would have responded to the animal's kosher, then they would know that the halacha would be, and if only one rib and part of the vertebrae is broken, then certainly the animal would be kosher. However, Yomaluhu Trefa, Akate Chodim Yubaylu, but if Rav would have responded in the case with two of the ribs and part of the vertebrae or the entire vertebrae is broken, the animal is a Trefa, then they would still have a Shaila, that maybe it's only because two of the bones are broken, but if only one of the ribs and only part of the vertebrae is broken, then maybe the animal would not be a Trefa. And the Gemara explains, Savri, that the thought was that we will ask a Shaila Benegia two ribs, as in Kim Meta Karatach, as if he held that one is also a trefa, then he would surely get angry at us, and he would tell us, Chod the trefa, Tatumi Boy, why would you be asking me a question about two ribs, even if one rib and part of the vertebrae would be broken, then the animal would already be a trefa, and certainly if two of the ribs were broken, then the animal's a trefa. And wherever the Gemara continues and is bothered, that Lemaisa we see that Rav did not get angry, as Vaka'amri Leiboloi Rasach, that Rav just responded to them, and he didn't get angry. However, the Gemara explains that Kivin the Amaluhu Gistra Kamrisu, Hainu Rishrei, that Ina Chinami, but Rav just stating a Loshim Bitmiya and saying Gistra Kamrisu, then Rav was actually giving them Musar and showing them his displeasure in their question. And Rav was telling them that certainly in this case, the animals are even a Vela, and therefore your question is not even a valid question. Even if it would be Nekrit Sela Vachuli Ima, then the animal would be considered a Trefa. As Rashi explains, Savri Imkim, Meta Karatach, Maduri, the Rav Matsina Lemisha, Maidina de Chada, the Ima Hadlan Kshira, Koshkin Chada, the Ima Hadlan Trefa, Bele Rischa, Pashtim Minah, the Bechad Isfirle Kshira, the Isfirle Bechad Nami Trefa, Kibinim Betarti, Mahadlan Brischa, Lemema, Hashta Bechad Trefa, Tatim Bailuchu. Rashi explains, Avil Ibinim Mine Chada, Afil Isfirle Betati Kshira. So in that case, Loy Mahadlan Brischa, he wouldn't have responded to him in anger, Lemema, why do you ask me about one rib if even two would be kosher? Dele Ichpis Le, Itesik Adaitan, the Betati Trefa, as Rav would not be as concerned. Rav wouldn't have even minded if they thought that one would be kosher and two would be a trefa, as that would be a chumrah, and there would be no possibility that it would be over an iser. And Taisis actually expands on Rashi, as Taisis states in Divrei Maskil, Savri Mitat Rasach, Avli Boy Mene Chada, Afilu Machshe Betati Loi Rasach B'Machshe Boyim Lahachmer. And as we just explained, the Gemara now continues that although we just saw machlekes between Ben Zakkai and Rabbi Yechon, as Ben Zakkai held that Nekru Brev Tzad Echad, and Rabbi Yechon held that even by Nekru, the animal would still not be a trefa unless it was Berev Shteit Stadin, and our Gemara will now bring down a third shita, and we already saw this third shita on Daf Chav Beis and Beis when the Gemara brought down the Shev Shmaitza, and as the Gemara continues, Rav Bashila, Rav Masna, Rav Shmuel, and he taught us three other cases where an animal would be a trefa, and number one is Nekrit Salamei Kara, Vilgogel Shnech Besabruba, Ubasa Chayfus Reva Karis Berubai, in all those cases, the animal will be considered a trefa, and Lemais we see that Shmuel holds that as long as one of the ribs was nekrim mekaymai and it was uprooted and it was dislodged from the vertebrae, and even if none of the vertebrae and none of the socket broke off, that the animal would be considered a trefa. And certainly based on Rashi, it would come out that Shmuel is chilek both on Ben Zakkai as well as Rabbi Yechon. However, Ayin Ban Taisis, where Taisis learns that Shmuel is discussing a case where not only was it nekrat Hatzela, but the Chulia also broke. And as Tesis explains, Rabbi Yonatan and Farish, Im Hasisa, the Mashmal El, Tzela Blei Chulia, Lekam Adetarif, Adetikarot Slois, as the Parach Rav Kanel, Rav Asi, Meula, in the name of Zakai, as well as Rabbi Yechron, if there's a sheet of Shmuel that holds, even if one of the ribs is dislocated, then the animal will be a trefa. Then the Gemara could have responded, since we find a sheet of Shmuel, that even if only one rib is dislodged, that the animal is considered a trefa. So certainly it would make sense that Rav Kanel Rav Asi could be asking about two ribs, and Ayin and Taisus. And on Amud Beis, the Gemara will discuss the case of Shmuel of Gilgal Shnechpes Beruba and Basa Chepes Revakes Berubai. Therefore, we will discuss those points a bit later. But the Gemara continues and discusses the first point of Shmuel. As Shmuel stated, Nekrat Selam Eikar is considered trefa, and the Gemara asks for a minu. That we have a question from the Mishnah Masechtas Olois that we already discussed on Daf Mem Beis and Beis. Mishnah was discussing Tumas Mace and Tumas Oil, and we know that if the Shidra of a person is in oil, then it would be Matamim Ba'oil. However, the Mishnah brings Machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to at what point a spinal column would no longer be Matamim Ba'oil. And as the Mishnah states, Kama Chesarim B'Shidra, Beis Shammai Oimim Shtei Chulyos, so Beis Hillel Oimim Chulya Achas, and Beis Shammai held, if the Shidra is missing two Chulyos, then it's no longer Matamim Ba'oil. However, if it's only missing one, then it would still be considered a full Shidra, and it would be Matamim Ba'oil. And Beis Hillel held that even if it's only missing one Chulya, then it would be Matamim Ba'oil. And keep in mind that certainly in this case, which is discussing a scenario of Tumas Meis, that Beis Shammai is more Machmer than Beis Hillel. And as we already saw, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, V'chein L'Treifa, and Shmuel himself stated that the same Machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, B'negeya Tumas Meis, would also apply B'negeya Treifa. If you Beis Shammai, the only time that an animal would be considered Treifa is if missing two Chulyais, Beis Hillel would be more Machmer, and he holds that even if the animal would be missing one Chulya, then the animal would be considered Treifa. When Meis, we see that Shmuel holds that the only time that animal will be a trefa is only if it's missing chulyos, but if only one or two ribs were dislocated, then the animal would not be considered a trefa. And the Gemara answers, Hachot tzela b'lei chulya, hasam chulya b'lei tzela, that in the chenami, there's a difference between the case of Shmuel that we just saw and the case of Shmuel when he was discussing the machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. As in our case, Shmuel was discussing if one of the ribs of the animal was dislocated and the chulya was not dislocated at all, and Shmuel holds that even in that case, the animal would be considered a trefa. And Shmuel is discussing the Mishnah Masechtas Olois. He's discussing a case where the vertebrae of the animal was dislocated and broken, while none of the ribs were dislocated, and even so, the animal was considered a trefa, and even though none of the ribs were dislocated, if the ribs are attached to the chulya, so once the chulya is dislocated, then certainly one of the ribs were dislocated. However, as we explained in the Akdama, after the ribs of the animal already ends and closer to the back of the animal, so the spinal cord and the vertebrae continue until the tail of the animal. And Shmuel is discussing those vertebrae that are not connected to any of the bones and any of the ribs of the animal at all. And Shmuel teaches us that according to Beis Hillel, even if only one of those vertebrae would break or would become dislocated, then the animal would be a trefa, while Beis Shammai is mekel, and he holds that it's only if two of those vertebrae would break or would be dislocated that the animal would be a trefa. And the Gemara continues to explain this point as Bishleim would celebrate Chulya Mishkachas Law, as we understand how it's possible that a seller will be dislocated and the vertebrae is not broken, and as we previously explained, that the ball comes out of the socket. However, El Chulya Blitzela Hech Mishkachas Law, and the Gemara explains Bishli Kafli, and as we explained, towards the back of the animal, there are only vertebrae and there are no ribs. And the Gemara now continues that since we just explained that in the case of a trefa, then it will come out that Beis Hillel is more Machber than Beis Shammai, so Mask of Lorab Isha, Velisneo, Gabi Kuli Beis Shammai, Vechum Beis Hillel, to Lochir in the Mishnah Mesechthus Idias, where the Mishnah says, Shishidvarim, Ami Kuli Beis Shammai, Umechum Beis Hillel, so why don't we list this case as well? Then in the case of trefas, Beis Hillel is also more Machber than Beis Shammai. And the Gemara explains, Amalei Rav, Osama Gers, Amalei Rava, Ki Ishul in Yutuma Ishul, the Havalu Beis Shammai Lechumra, that the initial question that was asked, whether we was machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, was in the case of Mesechthus Olois, Benegeya Tumas Oil. And that case, as we explained, Beis Shammai is more Machber than Beis Hillel, even though Ein Chinami, it ultimately comes out that there would be a Chumra of Beis Hillel and a Kula Beis Shammai in the case of a Trefa. However, the Mishnah Mesechthus Idias did not actually mention that, as that was not a direct machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And keep in mind that this was the scenario scenario that we saw on the bottom of Daf Mem Gimel and Beis and the top of Daf Mem Dalam and Aleph, where the Gemara stated that if we have a machlekes between two man da amrim, and in one case one of the shitas comes out of kula, and in another case that same shita would come out of chumra, then if one follows both kulas, that is considered rasha. And as the Gemara stated, in kula beishamim and kula beisil rasha, and if in both scenarios he goes to chumra and he passes like one man da amra in one case and the other man da amra in the other case, in order to be machmer, then mechum beishamim, mechum beisil, all of our kasev imah. So the pasuk in kula stated haksil b'chayish cholech. The Gemara continues to discuss the next treifa that was mentioned by Shmuel at the bottom of Daf Nun Beis and Aleph, and on Daf Mem Beis and Beis, where Shmuel stated where a large part of the skull of the animal was crushed, however it wasn't missing any part of the skull, and it wasn't missing any part of the Krem Shel Moich, and as we saw in the Mishnah, that Nika of Krem Shel Moich would be a treifa. And our Gemara continues, then when Shmuel mentions Rav, did he mean most of its height or most of its circumference? And Ein Rabbeinu Geshem, Rav Goiva, Mikrem Shel Moich Adapeh, and Rav Akifa Ma'izin Lo'izin, and Ein Rashi, Rav Goiva, Minay Naim Olamayla, and Rav Akifa, Godrum Rav Goiva, and that is a larger shear than Rav Goiva. And the Gemara will now continue and discuss the third of Shmuel's trefais, and that was a case of Basa Chayfas, Rav Akaris Berubai. And let's recall that on Daf Nun on Beis, the Gemara discussed the Karis HaPnimis and the Karis HaChitzena, which we already mentioned in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah taught us that Nikva HaKaris HaPnimis, Oish Nikra Rav HaChitzena, the animal will be a trefa. The Gemara brought six different shitas as to the explanation of the Karis HaPnimis. And one of the shitas that Gemara previously brought down was Amri B'Merob Mishmed Rabbi Sibachlina, that the Karis HaPnimis refers to Kol HaKaris Kulai, and therefore the Gemara is Ve'ezhi Karis HaChitzain, and the Gemara explained that it refers to Basa Chayfas Rav HaKaris. However, keep in mind that we saw another shita of Rabbi Yaakov Ben Achmeni in the name of Shmuel himself, that he explained that the Karis HaPnimi is Makam She'im Boi Melas, and it's the place that doesn't have any wool, and any other part of the Karis would be considered Karis HaChitzain in regard to that area. So if it would be Nikra Rav HaChitzaina, then the animal would be a trefa. And let us keep in mind that since Shmuel taught us that that is the definition of the Karis HaChitzaina that the Mishnah is discussing, so when Shmuel is teaching us that if the Basa Chayfas Rav HaKaris is Rip Berubai, then the animal will be a trefa, so certainly this halacha of Shmuel has nothing to do with our Mishnah and is a new scenario. And ultimately the Gemara will go through a shakla v'taya in order to get to this point. And the Gemara begins with a shayla that Rav Ashi asked as Bei Rav Ashi B'Rav Karua Oy B'Rav Natol, when Shmuel taught us that Basa Chayfa Rav HaKaris Berubai, that it is a trefa, so is it referring to a case where Rav of it is torn, as Rashi states, V'Kolshki and B'Rav Natol, and certainly if Rav was removed, or Shmuel specifically talking about a case where most of it was removed, however if Rav is only torn, then it would not be a trefa, as Rashi states, Oy B'Rav Natol Shenitel Ruba, Al B'Rav Karua Loy Mitrefa. And the Gemara continues and asks, Tifshle Midatan, that L'Chayru should be able to be Pashid Shaila Rav Ashi from our Mishnah, as our Mishnah stated, Karis HaPnimi Shenikva Oy Shenikra Rav Chitzena, and therefore we see that even if it was Nikra, that it would be a trefa, and V'Amri B'Merob Mishmed Rabbeis B'Bchina, that Kol HaKaris Kula Zui Karis HaPnimi Ve'ezeu Karis HaChitzena Basa Chayfas Rav HaKaris, and therefore we see that even in the case where Rav of the Karis HaChitzena was Nikra, then the animal would be a trefa. Kolshkin in the case where Rav was removed and we could be Pashid the Shaila Rav Ashi. However, the Gemara explains that we can't be Pashid the Shaila Rav Ashi from our Mishnah, as certainly Shmuel did not explain the Mishnah in this manner. As the Gemara continues, that Midu Taima El the Shmuel, the Rav Ashi is asking a question specifically in regard to the Shita of Shmuel, and on Rav Yaakov Ben Achmani on Shmuel, and as we saw in Daf Nun on the Beis, Rav Yaakov Ben Achmani explained the name of Shmuel that the Karis HaPnimi refers to the Makom She'im Boi Melas, and the rest of the Karis is considered the Karis HaChitzena. Certainly Shmuel would agree that in the case of our Mishnah, if most of the rest of the Karis is Nikra, certainly if most of the Karis is removed, then it would be a trefa, as that is definitely a much more vital organ, and certainly in that case we don't have a Shaila. However, in the case of Shmuel, which according to Shmuel is certainly not the case of our Mishnah, as otherwise Shmuel would not have to mention it at all, when Shmuel teaches us that Basa Chayfas Rav HaKaris Berubai would be a trefa, Rav Ashi has a valid question that since this ear of the animal is not as vital and is not mamish an organ of the animal, possibly Shmuel would hold that the only time that the animal would be considered a treifa is only if most of that area is removed, but if it's only ripped and torn, then possibly it would not be considered a treifa, and the Gemara is not pushing the Shaila Rav Ashi and Ayin Rashi, or Shmuel Loi Mefarash to Masisin, Kedamim Merava, Elo, Makum Sheim Boy Melas, Tahino Bekaris Atzmai, and that refers to the Karis Aprimi, and the rest of the Karis would be the Karis Echitzena, and Shmuel's Halacha that we saw on Dafcha Bezam Abez, as well as the bottom of Dafnun Bezam and Aleph, was adding on to the Mishnah and Gemara Gemule. Certainly, this was a Kabbalah and part of Halacha Ramesh Mesinai that this was included in Yudchas Trefais, Betan Masis and Maisel Abazar Klal. And even though the Tan and Mishnah did not mention it at all, however, this was already included in the Klal of the Mishnah, as the Mishnah stated at the end of the Mishnah on Dafnun Bezam and Aleph that Zer Klal, Kol Shein Kamayachai, is a Trefa, which according to Shmuel includes these three cases of Nekrat Salamekara, as well as Gulgol Shenech Basabruba, as well as the case of Basa Chayfas Reva Keres Barubai. The Gemara now continues and quotes from the last case of the Mishnah on Daf Mem Bezim and Aleph, and the last of the Trefas brought in the Mishnah is Drusas Hazaev. If an animal was clawed by a wolf, then the animal would be considered Trefa. The Mishnah then continued and brought the Sheet of Rabbi Huda, and as we will see, that is a Shaila if Rabbi Huda is being Chayla Kana Tanakama, or if he's explaining the words of the Tanakama, and Rabbi Huda Imer, Drusas Hazaev Bedaka, Drusas Hari Begasa, that a behemoth daka can become a drusa even by a clawing of a ze'ev. However, behemoth gasa would not become a drusa by being clawed by a ze'ev. In order for a behemoth gasa to become a trefa by being drusa, must be clawed by a lion. And Rashi explained in the Mishnah, drusa says ze'ev shehika b'tziponov u'matal ba'eres b'sar for bedaka al begasa loy olam zir lemiklei. And Rashi explains that the claws of certain animals have venom. Nowadays, the Mefarshim explain that it's not necessarily referring to venom, as we don't find any animals that have venom in their claws. The Mishnah is really referring to germs and bacteria that will infect the animal and cause the animal to die. And Rashi continues the Drusa Ribegasa Vekolshkin Bedaka, and Rashi explains our Mishnah based on the Tzad of our Gemara that there's a machlekes between Rabbi Huda and the Tanakama, and therefore Rashi explains Vitanakama Sava Olam Ziri the Ze'ev Lemukle Namilgasa, that the venom of the germs that the Ze'ev puts into an animal when it claws it is strong enough even to make a behemoth gasa into a trefa. Could be the reason why Rashi explained the Mishnah based on one side of our Gemara is that is the more complex side of our Gemara, as if they both agree, Rashi would not have to explain it at all. And as we already explained when we learned our Mishnah, that even though our Mishnah is not discussing the case of trefas of oiv, however, once the Mishnah already mentioned the differences by drusa, so the Mishnah continues to discuss the dinim by an oiv, and the Mishnah states drusa saneitz ba'if adak or drusa gas ba'if agas. If a small bird would be clawed by a bird called a neitz, which Rashi explains as some sort of a hawk, then it would be considered a trefa. However, this type of hawk not make a larger bird into a trefa. In order for a larger bird to become a trefa, it has to be clawed by a larger bird called a gas, and some agurus a gaze, and this either refers to a different type of a hawk or a vulture. And Rashi in the Mishnah has already explained ba'ifadak tziparim v'yoinim and ba'ifagas avozis v'tanagoylim. Keep in mind, b'negedi's dinim of a bird, so some explain this is a continuation of Rabbi Huda, and if Rabbi Huda is being chilek on a Tanakama, then possibly the Tanakama would not agree to this point either. And I entices in the Mishnah in Diva Maskel Drusa Neitz gabi treifas oif hu shayach lemisnei el mishum Rabbi Huda tanalei hacha ayin sham. Now Gemara now begins am Rabbi Huda amrab behemah min hazeiv lemaila uva oifos min haneitz lemaila, and an animal would only become a treifa if it's clawed by any animal that's the size of a wolf or larger. As Rabbeinu Gershom explains that even though our Mishnah only mentions the Eiv, however, certainly a larger animal that claws another animal would cause that animal to be a trefa, and similarly by a bird, that the only way that a bird can become a trefa is only if it's clawed by a bird that's as large as an eitz and larger. Once again, even though the Mishnah only mentions an eitz, any oif that is larger that claws another bird, then that bird would become a trefa. And certainly, let's keep in mind that if an animal could cause another animal to become a trefa, then certainly it would be able to cause a bird to become a trefa, as certainly every bird is weaker than the smallest animal. And the Gemara now continues in Yesen Rav Lamutei Mai. Now Luchira, since the member of Rav seems to be the actual din of our Mishnah, so it must be that Rav is trying to teach us something, and it would seem that he's teaching us that we should exclude an animal, that there are certain animals that even if they claw another animal, that the animal will not be considered a trefa. And the Gemara explains Ilem Lamutei Chatol, and if you will say it is coming to exclude a cat. However, we could already see this from the Mishnah as Tanina Drusus as a Eve, as the Mishnah taught us Drusus as a Eve, and clearly the Mishnah is teaching us that it's only Drusus as a Eve that causes an animal to become a trefa. And since a chatol is smaller than a Eve, so a chatol would not cause another animal to become a trefa. However, the Gemara continues, V'chitema, how come Ashbon is a Eve begasin namidaris? If you would say that from a Mishnah we could think that even a cat can cause another animal to become a trefa, and the reason why the Mishnah mentions the din of a Ze'ev is because the Tanakhama wants to teach us that a Ze'ev can not only make a behemoth daka into a trefa, but it can even make a behemoth gasa into a trefa. We would therefore think that a chatol can make a behemoth daka into a trefa, and that's why Rav would have to teach us that a cat cannot even make a behemoth daka into a trefa. Keep in mind that as we mentioned that Dhamma, right now the Gemara feels that Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah was coming to explain the Shita of the Tanakhama, and therefore the Gemara points out that we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda explained the Shita of the Tanakhama, that a Ze'ev can only cause a behemoth daka to become a trefa. Therefore, when the Mishnah mentions Drusus as a Ze'ev, it must already be teaching us that a cat cannot even cause a behemoth daka to become a Drusa. And if so, what will be the Chiddush of Rav? The Gemara continues and points out, V'chitem Rabbi Yehuda Miflug Polig, and if you will say that Rabbi Yehuda is actually B'chaylik and Tanakhama, and even though according to Rabbi Yehuda, a Ze'ev can only cause a behemoth daka to be a Drusa, but the Tanakhama actually holds that a Ze'ev would be able to even cause a behemoth gasa to become a Drusa, and then we would have a Hamina that a Chatol can cause a behemoth daka to be a Drusa. That's why Rav would have to teach us that a cat cannot cause a behemoth daka to become a Drusa. However, the Gemara states that we can't explain the Mishnah in that manner, as Amra Binyam Bayefes Amra Biloi Loibo Rabbi Yehuda L'Farish Tevi Chachamim, as Rabbi Binyam Bayefes teaches us in Rabbi Loi that there is no Machlekes in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda is only coming to explain the words of the Tanakhama, and therefore as the Ev can only cause a behemoth daka to become a Drusa, and it will be mashma from our Mishnah that a cat can never cause an animal to become a Drusa, and even a behemoth daka, and what will be the Chiddush of Rav? And the Gemara brings two terutzim, as number one, Gavra Gavra Karamis, that how can you ask a question on Rav from the memory of Binyamin Bayafis and Rabbi Loi, as although certainly Rabbi Loi held that Rabbi Yehuda is not coming to be Chaylokan Tanakhama, and he's only coming to explain the Tanakhama, however, Rav would hold that Rabbi Yehuda is actually being Chaylokan Tanakhama, and the Tanakhama holds that a Ze'ev can not only cause a behemoth daka to be a Drusa, but can also make a behemoth gasa into a Drusa. And from the Mishnah, one may think that even though a cat cannot make a behemoth gasa into a Drusa, but it can make a behemoth daka into a trefa, therefore Rav has to teach us that a cat can never make any animal into a Drusa, and even a behemoth daka. The Gemara now continues and brings another explanation as to the Chiddush of Rav, as Ibayis Ema, as if you want, I could tell you, that really Rav agrees to Rabbi Binyamin Bayefes and Nim Rabbi Loi, that Rabbi Yehuda is only coming to explain the Shita of the Tanakhama. Even the Tanakhama agrees that a Ze'ev can only make a behemoth daka into a trefa, and therefore even the Tanakhama would be coming to Lomai the Chatol. However, the Chiddush of Rav is that Ma'or Tema Och the Milsik Tani Kamash Blon, that one may think that even though the Mishnah mentions the Ave, but we would not be Medaik if a cat claws a behemoth daka, that the behemoth daka would not become a trefa, as possibly when the Mishnah mentions the Ave, it is discussing a standard case, and the standard is that the Ze'evim were the ones that clawed other animals, and certainly we were always scared of foxes, and it's not as usual that a cat would claw an animal. Possibly one would think that there would be no difference between a Ze'ev and a cat. If a cat would actually claw behemoth daka, then the animal would become a trefa, and therefore Rav teaches us that our Mishnah is dafka, and the Mishnah is specifically talking about a Ze'ev, as if a chatol would actually claw any animal, and even a behemoth daka, then the animal will not be considered a trefa. And before we finish, let us point out that even though Rav stated that a cat would never make an animal into a drusa, however, that is only by behemoth gasa or behemoth daka. However, if there would be a daka min adaka, and certainly with Rav, if a cat would actually claws an adult sheep or an adult goat, then certainly it would not be considered a drusa, and it would not be considered a trefa. However, as we will see, then Rav certainly would agree if a cat claws young sheep or young goat, what we would call a lamb or a kid, or if a cat would claw a bird, then certainly they would be a drusa, and certainly it would be a trefa. And I in top tastes, I'm not moving based and bees, ilim lemute chatol, klima dafka ze'iv doris be'imri ravri v'loi chatol. Our Gemara was only discussing mature behemodakos and not the young behemodakos, as we explained, and we will stop over here.